I'm Jen, your resident girl mom.
And I'm Julie, your resident boy mom.
We are moms with busy families and careers. Sometimes our lives get chaotic and crazy. We are lucky to have each other to lean on, laugh with, cry with, and sympathize with.
Join us each week as we talk about being moms and raising kids in the Treasure Valley, Idaho.
We're back.
This week, we told you we were going to talk about the crazy stories from when we were kids, because we grew up in the 80s and the 90s, and you know the Gen X and millennial kids grew up with some crazy stories. And what I think would be really cool is to hear, do your kids have these same stories as well? I mean, I have some crazy stories. I'm trying to think if we have.
I have one of, it was something that kind of started with my kids, and I feel like guilty about it now, but I didn't start it. It was something that my daughter came home and told me, and then I just started playing off of it, and now I'm like, oh, that was a really bad mom move.
What did you do?
So when she was in kindergarten, her and her sister were fighting. They're 3 and 5, and they're picking on each other. And I said, you can't be doing that. You can't be naughty. Like, I didn't like to use the word bad. I didn't want to say you're a bad kid. And she said, oh, yeah, because if you're naughty, you have to go to the bad kid's house. And I was like, what's the bad kid's house? And she's like, so-and-so in my class told me, maybe it was first grade, that if you're bad, your mom will take you to the bad kid's house. And I was like, well, what's the bad kid's house? And she said, it's a house where there's no toys and there's no beds and you just have to lay on the floor and eat really bad food. And I was like, oh, okay. And she said, that's what his mom told him. And so I'm like, okay, this other mom's talking about it. So the next time they started acting up, I was like, do you want to go to the bad kid's house? And then, they would like, no, we don't want to go there, right? Because this other kid told her about it. And then one day we were driving and there was a house that was like under construction. So you could see through the windows that it was vacant. And she's like, mom, I think that is the bad kid's house. And they knew which way it was. So one day I put on my turn signal, like I was going to turn on that street, and they shaped right up.
Oh my
and
gosh,
it just
really
kind of became this thing. Like if they started acting up, I'd be like, do you want to go to the bad kid's house?
Now
I feel like kind of bad.
Do you still do it or?
No.
They know better than that now, right?
Yeah, okay. They're old enough. But I mean, it was a thing in elementary school, but really she started it. Like she's the one that said, there's a bad kid's house. If you're naughty, you have to go there.
I know that I've said things to my kids that maybe weren't that nice. Mostly, maybe this is a Midwestern thing. I don't know. We would tell them they would have to go live with the gypsies.
Okay, see, now I don't feel bad. Like,
no.
Because that's like, you have to go to the bad kid's house. You got to go. Now, I will say, too, like, I think parenting has changed dramatically. Like, there's things my parents did you definitely wouldn't do today. There's even things I did just, you know, 10 years ago you wouldn't do today. Or
right.
People are more aware. I don't know. Even terms that are used, right? Like, you know, don't say your kids are bad or don't do that.
Oh, my gosh. All the words I can't use anymore. And I don't mean that in a way that I want to use them, but sometimes, you know, they just are ingrained. Okay, so last week we had talked about, I don't even remember what we talked about, but I knew at the very end.
Somehow we got on the topic of like camp.
Sixth grade camp.
Yeah.
And so it made me think about things that happened in my childhood that honestly would never, ever happen today. And there, I had one specific story that I thought, it must have been a fever dream. I couldn't have remembered the story correctly. That was, and it had come up. I think one of my kids was, it must have come up last year because my kid was in sixth grade. And I thought, that's so weird. Did it really happen? And so I put a post on Facebook because I had to ask the people I went to school with, did we really do this? Did this really happen? So here's what it was called. It was called the drop-off. And this is what I remember. What I remember is they put us in the back of a truck or a van or something. Like, I mean, in my mind, I think it's like a U-Haul. But
like, how old were you?
Sixth grade. So 12.
And who's driving this truck or van?
I don't know. The Charlie Brown teacher that nobody can remember.
A teacher did this.
No. I mean, everybody at sixth grade camp did this. I have no idea.
Okay. So this happened at camp.
I have no idea who the driver was. But I just remember we were in the back of a windowless van.
This is already sounding like
okay, and then they
the
drop
creeper van,
and they drop you off in the woods, and you have to find your way back home. This is what I remember, and I'm thinking to myself, this can't be real. Like I must have dreamt this. This
okay.
is not what really happened. So I put it on Facebook. It in fact did happen. In fact, So on my Facebook, I think I have what I graduated with 400 people. I have at least 400 people I went to high school with on my Facebook. And so that was one of my most engaging Facebook posts ever. People came back and either they had been, their siblings had been and done it, because I think the year after I went, I can't remember if my brother did it, but my sister said, oh, we didn't get to go to sixth grade camp anymore for whatever reason. I don't know what the reasons were. It wasn't because of the drop off, but that did in fact happen. And what I remember is that we weren't with adults. They dropped us off in the woods and I was with maybe a counselor from high school. Maybe. I don't remember that. I only remember the girls my age, and they gave us a compass like we knew how to use a compass.
Oh my gosh, I remember compasses and I could never figure that out. Like, thank God for GPS.
Okay, so I'm going to say this right now. We have a new member of our podcast sitting here recording who knows how to use a compass. Yes.
Well, he was a Boy Scout, correct?
Yes, he was.
Or an Eagle Scout, yes, all the way through.
So he better know how to use it. So he's probably embarrassed to know his mother did not know how to use a compass. I think I could probably do it today.
Okay, I did learn to use a Thomas Brothers guide because my first career, I started out, you know, as an admin, worked my way up. Anyways, I became a buyer, so I had to go visit suppliers and stuff like that. And MapQuest was new on the scene, but it wasn't always right.
Okay, see, I'm older than you. MapQuest wasn't even on the scene when I used it.
So I had to learn to use a Thomas Brothers guide. I did have a pager and a cell phone.
Do you think that they had those here in Idaho?
A Thomas Brothers guide. Oh, that might be a California thing.
Because there's the cities are so big and there's so many streets. Because remember, you'd get to the corner and you'd have to turn to the next page.
Well, and the reason I had to get the Thomas Brothers guide is so I had mapped out my day and I had to go visit 5 suppliers in Los Angeles. And if you're from California, you know, LA is crazy and busy. And I worked in San Diego. And I had mapped from one supplier to the next, to the next, to the next, right? That's how you did it. And you print them all out and I highlighted, you know, and wrote who it was. Well, one of them canceled. And I didn't know. And
so you had to drive to the one in the middle?
Each of these suppliers were like 30 to 40 minutes apart. And I just like, I don't know, I was 22, called my dad crying because I just was stuck in LA traffic and I could not figure out. He was just like, he's trying to look up on his computer and MapQuest and Thomas Brothers. And anyways, I found my way. But like, our kids will never have to experience that because GPS is pretty accurate.
Right.
And then I remember I got a Garmin. Oh. Do you remember that? They were like the GPS that you could buy and plug in your car. And those didn't always work either.
I'm just going to say that it's amazing what the age difference does. It's really not that big of an age difference. No, we never had that because by the time that was like a popular thing, I kind of think we had a car with navigation in it.
I know. I do remember getting my first car with navigation. And that was why, because...
And I used a map.
I think I was dating my husband by then. And I said, I have to be able to get to places. Oh. And so GPS was new in cars.
Mm-hmm. What year did you get married?
We got married in 2006. I know this.
Okay. So I got married 10 years before you.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so... 10 years, I would have been, in 2006, I was already on my second kid. I really wasn't driving that many places by that time.
But that was, I mean, I was in the thick of my career. Mm-hmm. So that was the motivation
to
get this new
car
because it had GPS mm-hmm. built in. That was a big thing.
Yeah.
And then we had to buy the CD for $100, a CD to pop in and update the GPS. So yeah, it was... Those were crazy times. Like, it was a lot harder to get around. I mean, yeah. So I can tell you my crazy sixth grade camp story.
Okay, we're trying to adjust here.
I know.
Can you turn it down a little bit?
I can turn it down. What was happening is you were just speaking away from the mic.
Oh, was I?
You should put it Jennifer is first because you just kind of had it facing her.
See, now we have someone here to tell us what to do.
So 9 episodes. No, this is 9. This is 9.
Okay.
And now we're learning how to do this right.
Because now we have
somebody helping.
A millennial, right? Is that?
No.
He's in even a different generation.
He's Gen Z. So his brother technically is Gen Z, but Alex is a honorary millennial. If you've ever looked up millennial in the dictionary, my son would pop up. He likes film cameras. Like, the word hipster really embodies Alex.
Okay, and now we're on to Gen Z.
No, our younger kids are Gen Alpha.
Oh, but what's Adam considered?
Gen Z.
Okay.
And so then Z. Austin and Andrew are Gen Alpha?
I think so.
Yeah, and then I don't know what Cameron would be. Cameron might be Gen Z.
I'm in that weird, like, yeah. in between.
I'm 100% Gen X. So, like, all those Gen X TikToks you read and see, you probably don't see them,
but it's like, I kind of can relate to the 80s because mm-hmm. I was a kid, but I wasn't quite a teenager yet. Mm-hmm. 90s was really, like, my year.
And
teenagers.
I was in college in the 90s. So I graduated in the early 90s from high school, and then I was in college. And then by the end of the 90s, I was married and having a baby.
Well, so that's the interesting part. My husband is a little older. I think guys were born the same year.
Yeah, actually, so, he's just 6 months older than me.
Oh, there you go. So my parents had me very young. Mm-hmm. So they were only 20. So it is interesting because there's so many things that he can relate to with my parents mm-hmm. or even different shows that he was watching as a teenager and they were watching as young adults that I have no idea. And then there are things he can relate to me. So he's in the middle of my parents and I, which is always an interesting dynamic.
And I'm on that. We are actually, so your husband and I are on the tail end of the Gen X. So, like, like millennials, we're kind of in that middle.
Yeah, and I'm not too. Definitely not the millennial generation, but like and that in between.
I am gonna say the way that my son is an honorary millennial, my husband is an honorary boomer.
Oh yeah, I could see that. I could totally.
So my
sorry,
son,
Sean,
who is
but I could see that.
Oh, I doubt Sean is listening to this because that is not something. That would be too techy for him. And husband is very smart and can do things in tech, but he's not new to embrace things. So he did ask me how to find our podcast. He's like, how did you get on there?
Well, that's what Kurt, he was like, oh, so how did you guys figure this out? I'm like, I don't know, Julie's the technical one. I just show up.
But I do have to laugh about the things that I would have done as a child. So sometimes I do stuff with my kids and I'm like, I don't know if we're allowed to do that anymore because it might be something I did as a child, but I don't know. I'm not sure how to navigate those waters anymore. Where our parents did not ask those questions. They were not worried about navigating through the parenting waters where I'm like, should I be leaving my child home alone? Is he old enough now?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it legal? Should I be?
We were latchkey kids and I don't really think it was an issue. Like, I think it's something my mom stressed about. I didn't feel neglected. I mean, we had like a little code. We'd get in the house and we would dial on the phone connected to the wall in the kitchen and we call her work number and all we'd say is mom, we're home, bye. Because she couldn't really be on the phone at work for personal calls, but that was the call that she would get every day at the same time.
And... Okay. Have you seen those TikToks where they ask the Gen Z or the millennial, like, do you know what this is?
Oh,
Adam, do you know what a collect call is?
No, I don't.
No, well, my kids.
Because we did the collect calls. Like, okay, so what we did when we were kids, we didn't call our parents. We would have to call them for rides. My mom was always home, so I wasn't a latchkey kid or anything. But if you wanted a ride home from the mall and you didn't want to spend the quarter or 35 cents to call her or you didn't have that from the payphone, you would do a collect call. So you'd call the operator and you would say, I want to make a collect call. My mom's name is Ginger. I mean, and then you give their phone number and then they'd say your name. And my name would be, Mom, it's time to come home. And we would have like a pre-pickup spot. And so then she would get a phone call and it'd say, you have a collect call from Mom, it's time to come home. And she would know to go pick me up at our like pickup spot at the mall. And so then she would say, no, I do not accept this collect call.
Well, here's the funny thing about my kids. So I was telling them, well, I didn't have a cell phone when I was a kid. And they're like, how did you call people? I'm like, well, we had a phone with cord. They're like, you guys had hotel phones? Like, that is their reference for a phone. They're
do
like,
your kids talk on a phone and put it up to their ear?
No.
Because my kids hold it like
they talk on
I wish you could see this.
At all times.
No, but like on a regular phone. So we have office phones and my kids have been in our office and talked on the phone. They hold it like this. They don't
put it to their ears.
No. No, but like our office phones, you don't like put them up to your ear. Austin doesn't. Austin like holds it out here. Or if I
think. Well, it's funny
your brother
to me
does
that
not.
My kids were like, so you guys had hotel phones in your house? Because that is their only reference of seeing a phone. I mean, I did work in a traditional office when they were little and they had come in, but they don't remember
See,
that.
And we've always had our own office. So our kids have been in. So they've seen the phones with the cords.
The only time my kids have seen that is in a hotel. So I remember my daughter, I think it was my aunt or something. She's like, did you know my mom, they had hotel phones in their houses? She's looking at me like, what are they talking about? But I didn't realize that's such a foreign concept to them. Or when, like, another thing my daughter finally asked me one day, and I was like, oh, that is a good question. She's like, why do you say roll down the window? Like, what are we rolling down? Because she's like, why don't you just say push the button or put your window down? And I thought, oh, my gosh, I know why that doesn't make sense to her.
Adam, have you ever been in a car that you had to roll the window down?
Yeah, no, a few of my friends have. Old cars like that where you gotta
crank it. Okay, there you go.
Okay, but I love those TikToks where they ask these young kids, do you know how to do these things? So Austin, last summer, my 12-year-old, he went backpacking. And then this backpacking trip, it was on the Oregon coast, and they stopped at a hotel along the way. And so I get this call from Oregon. So, of course, I answered it because I thought, oh, it might be a problem. And he doesn't have his own cell phone or didn't at the time. And I answer the phone and he goes, hello, is Julie there? As if somebody else was answering my cell phone. I was like, I didn't even know he knew how to do that. So it was just him calling from the hotel phone. And I said, oh, wait, that's going to cost you a lot of money to call from the hotel phone. He's like, why? I said, I don't know. Doesn't it cost a lot of money to call from? So does it not cost $1 million to call?
I don't know.
It used to be super expensive if you ever called anybody.
When I would go on business trips, we would take a calling card from our department, and that is how you made calls to confirm with your suppliers. Mm-hmm. You had a calling card
because you couldn't
use the hotel phone, because then you'd get a big bill and our company didn't like that. And I remember.
Do you know that's not a thing anymore? Because I didn't know that.
So they must not charge you to use the phones
anymore.
Well,
do you remember you used to get charged to make long distance calls?
Yes, because I finally convinced my parents to get me my own phone line.
I had my own phone line too.
I don't know. I don't even remember where I met the boy. Probably at the river. We used to go to the river. And I think he lived in Palm Springs and we lived in San Diego. And we got each other's phone number and I had no clue until my mom got my phone bill and busted.
So you're young enough from me that were you a teenager when you got your first cell phone?
I was driving. So I had to be like 17 and it was a Nokia phone, but it was prepaid.
Uh-huh.
And my parents would only put so many minutes on it. And really, I only turned it on to make a phone call to tell them I'm on my way home or I'm here. I just got to my friend's house. That was it.
My first phone plan, I got 100 minutes a month. And that was it. And back then, Adam, like my very first phone, there was no such thing as texting.
Oh, yeah. No, there was no texting.
I think the first time I ever texted was like in the mid-2000s.
The first time I texted, it was on a Razer flip phone, and it was the T9 texting.
I didn't have a Razer flip phone. I had it was like a Razer. It was the one right before the iPhone. It was the first one to have iTunes on it, but it didn't flip. It was like a flat one, and I had iTunes on it.
Okay.
But, and it was like the in-between, and then the next phone that came out was the iPhone.
Then I got promoted to a supervisor and I got a BlackBerry.
Oh,
and
that's so
I thought
funny.
That was the coolest thing because it had a keyboard. So I was like a BlackBerry user.
I was actually.
Those aren't even around anymore, I don't think.
No, I don't think so. I was a really anti-phone person. I didn't text. I wasn't on MySpace. But I had already had kids at that point. I didn't get my first phone until it was like 1998. But I was already married and working.
Do you know why I got Facebook?
No, why?
Because my grandmother had Facebook and she said, well, I can see your cousin's kids, but I can't see yours because you're not on Facebook.
Oh, that's
but
funny.
I was working career, like I didn't have a very flexible schedule, and at work you couldn't be on it. And by the time I got home, that I had like a couple hours and it was like dinner, bath, getting kids, reading stories, getting to bed. Like there was no time to go sit on a computer on Facebook. So anyways, I finally got it. And I remember all I did was posted a picture of the kids, my beautiful girls or whatever it was. But it was back to when it's like, Jennifer is feeling whatever.
Yes,
or Jennifer is happy because, like, you know, they gave you the prompts.
I think we just lost all listeners who are under, 35.
I know. They're like, what are they talking about?
So
I was gonna ask
about your camp story.
Okay, so another like terrible lie that like I doubt they would do this to kids today was they told us that there were aliens that had landed in Camp Marston and a child went missing. Okay, already you're freaked out, you're a sixth grader, and they said, but they found a way to keep the aliens away. You have to eat these special rocks that spark in your mouth.
Were they Pop Rocks?
No. They bought like white lifesavers and just basically like crunched them up and they claimed that they sparked. So they said, you know, eat these rocks because it'll put this whatever spark in your mouth. And I remember they were, I don't know, they were probably like high school age. So they're freaking us little sixth graders out. And we were freaking out because we weren't seeing sparks. They said, so long as you see a spark when you bite it, you'll be protected. So me and this girl were like crying because we couldn't get our magic rocks, which were lifesavers, to spark. And then I remember a boy saying, they're lifesavers. I can see the letters on it. And he was like trying to piece one together. But anyways, we were so freaked out that night. I remember I slept horribly because I was so worried aliens were going to come get us because this missing kid. And finally, we told one of the adult campers that we wanted to sleep, or the adult, whatever they were, that we wanted to sleep with the lights on. Oh, because that's what they said too. The aliens don't like the lights. I was just thinking, how terrible is that? I mean, overall, sixth grade camp was fun. I remember we went in a canoe. We did a rock climbing wall. But I also remember like really wanting to go home. And I think I called my mom and asked her if I could come home and she said no. But finally that adult was like, that's not true. No children have gone missing. But we had to sleep there two nights before we were told that. Totally freaked out.
Do you know, my mom let me watch really scary movies when I was young. And I was really afraid of scary movies for a long, long time.
No, my mom wouldn't let us do that. I can't remember the movie, but she like told me a story because I remember I begged to watch this rated R scary movie because my friends were watching it. My mom's like, well, I'll just tell you, I watched this movie and I couldn't get out of my head. And she watched it when I think she was 13 or 14. And she said it was really awful. And she just wasn't going to let that happen to me. And I'm probably really glad that she didn't. But I watched Friday the 13th
and I was like eight.
I can't remember what it was. I was going to say it was like the Poltergeist or something she watched.
That is a scary movie.
I think that's what she watched. No.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so Kurt, my husband, will tell you that is my downfall. There are so many movies I have not seen. I'm not a good movie watcher unless I'm like in a theater or like during Christmas.
But you haven't seen Poltergeist? No. Oh my gosh. I can hardly. So if you've ever seen Poltergeist, I still can't look in a mirror without. There's a scene where she looks in a mirror and it like talks back to her or something like that. And even now, if I look in a mirror late at night, I'm like, oh, I'm just going to look away.
I'm going to have to like text my mom after this and ask her, what was the movie?
And it's not even that super scary of a movie. It's just really like psychologically scary. And when you're a young kid, I watched a lot of scary movies as a young kid and I don't like scary movies.
No, I don't like scary movies. I don't like horror. I am a crime junkie. I love Dateline on a Friday night. Oh, yeah. I could watch, like, I don't know. And there's been a lot of, like, Idaho, Utah crimes lately that, like, I have followed so closely. Like, I want all the details. I want to know what happened. And I couldn't wait for Dateline to, like, release the episode because I just, I don't know why I'm fascinated with that. And Kurt jokes. He's like, nope, she's, he tells my dad. I can't remember what he says. Something like, she's in there doing research. I'm like, oh, please. But he's like, it's always either the husband kills the wife or the wife kills the husband. Uh-huh. I was like, not always.
I don't know that I don't like scary movies. I don't like true crime. Although if you start me in on it, I won't be able to walk away. But I know that I'll think about it for a long time.
There is sometimes an issue. Like, I mean, we have cameras on the house. Like, there's a lot of things because I freak out. And we tried to live very, very rural once. And my husband travels for work and there were coyotes out there and it was pitch black dark at night and the neighbor, it was a 2.5 acre lot and the neighbors were really, really far apart. And I would tell him like, what if this happened or what if that happened? He's like, you watch too much Dateline. That is your problem. Like none of that is ever going to happen. Or he has traveled and, you know, sometimes he'll get hung up in customs or whatever because he travels a lot internationally and I will freak out and like create an entire story in my head that has happened.
I will admit to have done that. So when we were talking about this episode, we were talking about like, okay, so we have a couple of crazy things that happened to us as kids, and there's probably a lot more. Like we were saying, we grew up in the time when maybe kids were a bit more feral. Do you,
that's a good word. Yeah.
Do you think that like today, are there things that we let our kids do? I think since I moved to Idaho, I am a little bit more free with what I let the kids do, but I think we don't let them do kind of, they don't have the same free reign that we had.
I'm a little more free. Okay, so when I was a kid in California at 7-Eleven, it would be like the equivalent of a Jackson's or a Maverick. So my mom used to let my cousin and I walk there. I mean, fairly young, and we'd get nachos and a soda, and that was like a big thing. And when we moved to Meridian, our very first house here, we were in a rental town home, and it was very close to Jackson's. And all the neighbor kids would walk there, but I wouldn't let my kids do it. And finally, one of the moms actually came over, and she's like, okay, so, like, what is the deal? Because they walk in a group of eight of them, and it's literally down the street. Like, I could see it from kind of the backyard. And I guess I was just a little jaded because, like, my kids did not play outside unsupervised where we lived. And I think, you know, that is, Idahoans want to know, like, why are people coming here? Because I do feel like there's a little more freedom, more sense of community, safer. I mean, I'm not letting my guard down completely, but I finally let my kids walk to Jackson's, and they all got, I don't know, what do you call them here? Icy's, Slurpees? I mean, 7-Eleven, it was a Slurpee, but
I don't know what they're called here. And my mom did send me to the store when I was pretty young. Okay, I don't know why I remember this. And mom, if you're listening, I don't think you did this all the time, but I have one vivid memory of having to walk to Quick Pick, because that was the store, the convenience store by our house in Michigan. And she wanted me to buy her pantyhose. And she gave me money to buy her pantyhose.
Well, the other thing that we would see this boy do in the neighborhood, and we know the family and they're super sweet, but I want to say there were like seven kids and they'd run out of milk a lot because they're seven kids. And you would see like one of the boys walking to Jackson's in the morning, walking back with a gallon of milk, and he'd do it by himself because it was so close. And I'm just like, I guess you can do that here. And like, I didn't even think like my kids knew, like, do they know how to pay when they're given the total? Like all these things, right? And of course, my older daughter's like, yes, mom, we know what to do. And I'm like, did you get your change? And like, make sure you have enough money. Like, no, look at the price. Don't go to the register and all of a sudden it's like $20 and you have 10, you know?
My 12-year-old wanted to go to the skate park. And so he went with his friends to the skate park recently and it was fine. You know, he kept falling and it wasn't a big deal. Everything was fine. And then he asked me if he could go to the skate park by himself. And I was like, I don't know. I think he's very responsible and I think that he could do it. So he went and he did not have a cell phone and something happened. I don't know what. And another mom was calling me. I'm like, oh, okay. He can't go to the skate park alone. So we got him a cell phone for Christmas and he went and I actually I'm like really questioning myself as a parent. He asked me to go to the skate park alone again. And I was like, well, I don't know. And he had gotten a new scooter that he wanted to ride at the skate park for his birthday. So he had had it a little while. And I said, OK. And I'm thinking, OK, he's got the phone now. He can call me if there's any problems. Well, he did fall badly. He had like a black eye for 2 weeks.
Oh, I remember that.
Not call me. And he just came home and I was like, that is why I gave you the phone. So now I like want to go back and say, and I've already told him, you're never going to the skate park again without me being there because he got hurt the last two times he went without me or without a friend. I think I would still let him go with a friend, but not by himself.
Yeah. And that was,
and it's hard to navigate
here,
that. My parents would have let me go. They would have been like, oh, just keep going.
All the kids in the neighborhood were riding bikes and stuff like that. And it came to that point, like, I have to let go a little bit. And so I did. I let them take off, but they were taken off in a group of neighbors. And of course, one of them fell. But luckily, I mean, they fell in front of someone's house. The mom came out. She put peroxide band-aids. Like, and there's me. Like, well, which house was it? Show me which house. Because I want to take her like a thank you card and like cookies or something. And they're like, mom, it's fine. Like, it was a band-aid peroxide. But I'm just,
the
I
way
don't know,
you say
you're
it,
never gonna worry.
Mom, it's fine. Yeah. I hear that all the time.
Okay, well, let's wrap up with what are our tips for this week?
Oh, how to keep your kids safe. How not to treat them like it's the 80s. I don't have a tip.
You know, mine is a few little white lies are not going to kill them. Like, the bad kid's house, like, it still gets me, like, why on earth did I let that go on for so long? But in the big scheme of things, I mean, judge me, terrible, but that's my tip, is a few white lies, fibs.
We used to have the invisible man, didn't we? Oh, I forgot about the invisible man.
Oh, who was the invisible man?
Okay, well, the invisible man wasn't anything bad. It was the sense of competition in our house. So I used to, they would eat slow or do really slow on something. I'd be like, the invisible man's going to beat you. You better hurry up. I don't know why we did that. And it was kind of a thing.
So okay, that's what we want to know this week on our Instagram comments. What did you do in your house? Like, we had the bad kid's house. You had the invisible man.
And the gypsies.
And the gypsies.
I mean, I think my parents said the same thing. I don't know. Do other parents say they're going to send their kids to the gypsies? Because we did. Did we say that to you? Okay, sorry. Now I've got a kid here that I can confirm if I did these things or not.
Okay, so we want to know, what is the story you're telling in your household? And I'm sure the newer millennial moms are dying right now because
what do you remember from your childhood too? I'd love to hear your crazy stories.
Yes.
Like, did you get dropped off in the middle of the woods and have to find your way home?
Okay. Do an Instagram story. Tell us your story and tag us so we can share your crazy story. Okay. We will talk to you again next week.
Thank you for joining us. We will be releasing a new episode every Wednesday, and we would love for you to join us next week.
Follow us on Instagram @JenandJuliePod.